This is PodTech.net. I'm Matt Kelly. On today's show, new crash test results from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. If you've ever been in a low-speed collision, say in a parking lot or something, you know low speed doesn't mean low cost when it comes to repairs. The problem is bumpers, and specifically oversliding and undersliding. And the Institute's Russ Rader is here to talk with us about that problem and the crash test results. Russ, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, tell our community who the Insurance Institute is.
The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety is an independent, nonprofit highway safety research group. We're funded by auto insurers with the goal of reducing crashes, injuries, and property damage associated with accidents that happen on the highways.
And you do a lot of testing out there, and it seems every time we have you on the show, it's never with the good news. But welcome back once again. Let's get to the crash test results for damage in low-speed crashes. What were the study's findings?
Well, these were tests of 17 mid-sized cars. These are, as you said, low-speed crashes. We're simulating what happens in typical commuter traffic when vehicles collide, say somebody slams on their brakes in front of you and you don't have time to stop. These are low-speed crashes. They're typically occurring, you know, at speeds less than 10 miles per hour. And so our tests look at how well vehicles withstand damage at 3 and 6 miles an hour. And we're crashing them full frontal into a barrier that represents the bumper of another vehicle, a rear test, and a corner test to see how well the bumpers protect the corners of the vehicle where there's a lot of expensive equipment like headlights that need to be replaced if they're damaged. And so out of these mid-sized cars, we really didn't have any stellar performers. Even the best performers had about $1,000 damage, like the Mitsubishi Galant, up to $4,500 damage in one of the tests for one of the worst performers, the Nissan Maxima.
17 mid-size vehicles. That's pretty incredible with the range that you specified. Give us the five worst cars and then the five best cars.
The five worst performers, as I mentioned, the worst in one test was the Nissan Maxima, but in all four tests, it had about $9,000 total damage. The Volkswagen Jetta, the Pontiac G6, and the Volkswagen Passat really round out the worst performers. These had damage totals in excess of $8,000 in all four tests.
If you can find any commonality between all of them, what would you say it would be of those five worst performers?
The problem with the worst performers mainly was underride and override. In other words, when you have vehicles that collide, you want the bumpers to collide so that they can take the hit and keep the damage away from other expensive parts. And in the case of these vehicles, in some of the crashes, the bumper of the car did not line up with the barrier, and it simply slid under. And so it's resulting in a type of damage that we see in real-world crashes where the bumpers don't even line up, and so you end up having the grill and the hood and the headlights serve as the bumper.
And does that point out a bigger problem, the disparity between SUVs and smaller cars? Or?
Well, one of the problems is that cars and SUV bumpers don't line up, but we even see this kind of damage when cars collide with each other, that bumpers just aren't at the level that they should be, and they're not strong enough. When you look at the outside of a vehicle, say a Honda Accord or a Chevrolet Malibu, the bumper looks pretty substantial, but what you're seeing on the outside is just the cover. It's a plastic cover that if you took that off, you would see how little protection there is underneath that cover. And there's plenty of room under there for manufacturers to make the actual bumper a little taller and wider so that it provides better protection and will line up with other cars as well as with SUVs.
And what were the five best performers?
The best performers were the Mitsubishi Galant, the Toyota Camry, the Mazda 6, the Ford Fusion, also the Volvo S40, although it had some problems with the full frontal test. These vehicles, again, did not perform great. We still had more than $1,000 damage in some of the tests, but they did limit the damage somewhat. And also, I should mention the Saturn Aura, which was it's a new midsize car from General Motors. It was the only car in the full frontal test that managed to keep the damage to the bumper itself. In other words, it was the only one that didn't underride or override and cause a lot of damage to parts around the bumper.
Let's ask the same question. What would be the commonality that you find amongst these five best? Again, keeping in mind, we're not talking about stellar results here. We're just talking the best of the worst, if you will.
Well, in some cases, like the Saturn Aura, it had a bumper bar that was taller and positioned in a way that it didn't underride the barrier like some of the other vehicles. Now, some vehicles like the Toyota Camry, which had relatively low repair costs, we should point out that the cost of parts varies a lot depending on the car. So even though the Camry had among the lowest repair costs in this group of midsize cars, that doesn't mean that the damage was less. For example, in the full rear test, the Camry had $1,400 damage, but it was a lot of things to repair. There were bent fenders, there were crushed trunk floor, and other damage that would take a lot to repair. And it's not just the cost we're talking about here, it's the inconvenience, because you've got to take that car in, get estimates, end up being without the car while it's in the body shop, and all of that takes up your time as well as the money in your wallet.
I'm curious, in a sense, how these cars can be on the road today, specifically with insurance companies, for the most part, paying the cost for these repairs.
Well, basically, it boils down to a couple things. One of them is that manufacturers aren't being forced to make better bumpers. There used to be a federal standard in place that required the bumpers to resist damage at 5 miles per hour. But that was rolled back in 1982, and so now we have a standard that is only at 2.5 miles per hour, and it really is not, it's sort of silly to have any standard at all when it's only a 2.5 mile per hour impact speed.
Yeah, we're talking, 3 to 6 miles per hour, which is nothing, and you've sustained anywhere from $1,000 to $9,000 in damage.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that, as you just pointed out in your question, the insurance company is paying the bulk of this because most of us have a $500 or $1,000 deductible, so you don't really see it in terms of the total cost of what's coming out of your pocket, but we all end up paying this in the end, because it's passed on to consumers in terms of higher insurance premiums.
In fact, talking about the test rollback and everything from 1982, part of these crash results were involving a 1981 Ford Escort that was built to the previous standards prior to their rollback, and you have results from that, don't you?
Right. We put a 1981 Ford Escort through the same battery of tests. These are the same tests that resulted in $4,500 in damage for in one of the tests for the Nissan Maxima. In the case of the Ford Escort, only $86 damage in that same test. And in two of the tests, the corner tests, at 3 miles per hour, the Escort sustained $0 damage. So it goes to show you that manufacturers can do this, and it's not expensive or high-tech. The Escort is an example of what the manufacturers were required to do back in the late 70s and early 80s, to protect vehicles from costly damage. And this is not just a case of a Ford Escort being cheaper to repair than a modern car. In the tests of the Escort, the bumper sustained whatever damage there was confined to the bumper, and we didn't have to replace hoods, fenders, headlights, and grills, and other kinds of things that we had to fix on the modern cars.
While we've gone and made plenty of steps and strides ahead for safety in other realms, we've also taken steps back, two steps forward, one step back.
Certainly for repair costs, the manufacturers could do a lot better. And oftentimes they say, well, it's the stylists won't let us do it because people like sleek-looking front ends on cars. But if you look under the bumper cover, there's plenty of room under there to make better bumpers. They just haven't paid attention to it.
So we're sacrificing safety over style?
In some ways, it is a case of style trumping function, but it doesn't have to be that way. It could be different, and they wouldn't have to sacrifice sleek styling to make better bumpers.
And now this is a new bumper test altogether, isn't it?
This is a new test altogether. We have been conducting research over the last couple of years looking at the type of crashes that occur in the real world. We used to do a bumper test where we banged the cars into flat barriers at 5 miles per hour. But what we find is some of the most costly damage in real crashes happens when the bumpers don't connect, that bumpers underride or override the vehicle in, that they're striking. And so this new test mimics that kind of crash.
And your advice to the consumer then in light of these results?
Well, we hope consumers will look at these and choose vehicles that provide better protection. But since we didn't have really good performers in this group, what we're hoping publicizing these results does is push the automakers to make improvements because they can do better.
And your final thoughts on the study results and the implications for the consumer?
Well, this is not a safety issue, but it's a consumer pocketbook issue. And this kind of damage ends up costing billions of dollars each year. And what we're pointing out is it doesn't have to be. And we could save consumers a lot of money, not to mention time, in dealing with the repairs if vehicles had better bumpers. Because in some cases, you could have a crash like this where your headlights are damaged in what should be a fender bender. And if it's at nighttime, you wouldn't even be able to drive away. You'd have to have the car towed. And that's just really uncalled for in these low-speed crashes.
Russ Rader from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. Always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
For the next gear, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.